Hello, everybody. It's Tani here. Welcome to our fourth week. I cannot believe we're coming towards the end of this course. Now, as I always do, I'm just going to start by asking if you can hear me, if you can press 1 on your phone, because I just always want to check that you can. So if you can hear me now, press 1. Oh, I'm seeing hands go up. Beautiful. Thank you so much. I'll just put the hands down. Oh, I'm seeing lots of people popping up. Everyone's still arriving. So far I'm seeing Glennis, hello, Shantae, Tathra, Beth, Suzanne, Jeanette, Connie, Susan, Alice, Trisha, and Tarinda. And I'm sure a few others will be joining us as we go. And what's been lovely about this call so far is the people who can't come to the Saturday call or Friday night in the States, Saturday morning here, tend to come to the follow-up call. So there's only two or three people who can't make either, and they are working on this by themselves, which I really admire, and they're constantly in contact with me by email, and we're helping them work through it and some of the exercises they're doing with friends. So it is possible to do it that way. I have decided that if I do run this again, which I'm starting to think about, I probably will make, I'll do the course in two time zones so that everyone can attend the call live, because what I'm really realizing is a lot of the power of this course is coming from the interactive stuff you guys are doing together and the exercises, and it's not as potent to do it by recording. So the next time I run it will be much more of a live course without the recording. But with the follow-up call this time, that's working nicely. So if next week you can't make the original live call, just come along to the follow-up call and you'll get a lot out of that. So I just wanted to really welcome you all to this fourth week. I also want to apologize to Beth. I know that you called me during the week. I just haven't had a time where I could sit down for a length and call you properly. So I was going to say to you, if you want, you can chat, stay on the call at the end today and we can have a chat then, or we can arrange a time then to speak later in the week. But I do apologize about that. And everybody else, I just want to say hello to all of you and welcome you on the call. Just going to start by quickly asking a couple of people, because I want to move into what we're going to do today, but I just want to ask a couple of people to share if anyone had the chance during the week to play with speaking from your heart versus speaking from your head, if you had a chance to try it out with a friend, which was the sort of suggested homework, but of course it's not compulsory, but I'm just interested if anyone had a chance to play with that. So if you did, pop your hand up, and I'm just going to take one or two shares on that. If anyone had any reason to play with that during the week? I'm seeing Beth's hand go up. Beautiful. I'm going to click on you and give you the microphone. Hello.
Hello, Tani and everyone. How are you?
Hello. Good. We can hear you.
Oh, great. Thank you. Great. I had two experiences this week where I was able to think about what we'd learnt and use it. The first one was in a fairly large group, about 85, 90 people, where I needed to talk about the outcomes of the Bushfire Royal Commission. So something that's not that easy to do a heart connection on when you're needing to talk about it in terms of the industry and the industry impact on the tourism industry. But I decided that within that factual context, I really wanted to do stuff that was, you know, try and get a fairly genuine kind of a conversation happening, and I think that worked fairly well from the feedback from the participants and the questioning and the conversations later on. So I was fairly pleased with that outcome. And then the second one was far more personal in that it was a job interview I went for. And
wow.
I was concerned about whether this was the right job for me, whether I wanted it or whether I didn't. So I'd done a little bit of, communicating with the trusted sources and whatever earlier on, and decided to continue with the interview but change the focus a little, where I said to them, look, I know what you've written down on the PD, but I really want to know what you want. Not who you want, but what you want in this job. And we were able to have a really open-hearted conversation about what they wanted, which was, it was quite different to an expectation that had originally been put about. And so I was able to very, very comfortably, 100% comfortably and confidently, after some discussion, say to them that I withdraw my application. And they were pleased because they've said, look, we think that this, your skill set's beyond this job. So they were really, I think, probably relieved, but also pleased. And I felt so happy that I'd been able to go into that in an open-hearted way, have the conversation, and then withdraw knowing that I'd done the right thing. So both times I had really, you know, wanted to go in with the open-hearted intention, and it was great.
Well done. I'm so pleased for you because it's a powerful thing to do. And what was coming to me as you were talking was, you know, deep down most people want to be met on a heart level. So even if you're in, you know, a corporate environment or you're in a business meeting or an interview, what we're going to talk about later today is how to bring the mind and the heart together, because so far we've just been focusing on the heart and we haven't been focusing much on the mind. We're going to look a bit at how they can work together. But just in terms of the heart stuff, you know, all people deep down want to be met and connected with on a heart level. So even if you're in an interview or in front of a board of directors, they are human beings. And if you put it into that energy of meeting them on their heart level, you'll get a very different outcome. And it's just a fantastic example of that. So thank you so much for sharing that, Bev. It's beautiful. It's going to lead beautifully into what we're going to do today. So thank you very much. Now I'm going to call on Alice, our other Melburnian. Hello.
Yeah, look, I just found what it's done for me is that it's reconnected me with something that really I've been doing for a long time, but perhaps hadn't been doing as consciously, which is that connecting with intention. And I think particularly the experiences I've had in the small groups have sort of raised my confidence in that, so that it kind of quietens the part of my mind that says, but you've got to remember what you've got to say and all of that. So it's brought me into a stronger trust with setting the intention and it really being a heart intention. And even if there's a few dot points about what I want to say, that trusting that through the intention and the connection with the heart, and that I will say the things that need to be said. And that's really worked well. I've felt very calm in a number of really more like personal friendship, home kind of situations. Oh, yeah, some coaching situations too. So I've just been doing that a lot more, and it's, I think the main thing is that it's brought me back to trusting it.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm just going to turn that mic off. I really want to encourage all of you, particularly over our last week that we have together. Some people are choosing to continue on maybe and do some small coaching groups, but for those of you who aren't, this is our last week together. So I really want you to take advantage of that, and over the next week, really practice this. Practice setting an intention, practice connecting to your heart, practice connecting to your body. We're going to play with it again today. Because the reason that I've made this 5-week course very interactive, and so that we're doing experiential stuff, because it would have been very easy for me to just talk for 2 hours each week and you just listen. But I'm a really big believer on experiential learning. I think it's probably my Feldenkrais training, because Moshe Feldenkrais' genius was for making every abstract idea into a embodied experience that you could actually feel in your body. So you didn't have to take anyone's word for it. You would always believe it for yourself because you've had your own experience. And that has very much impacted on all my teaching I do in lots of areas. And so in this course, every time I realize there's a topic I want to talk to you about, I try and feel into a way of making it experiential for you. And the reason for that is once you have experienced something, you've actually physically experienced something, it's now in your nervous system. It's permanently there. All our experiences are wired into us in terms of our nervous system. And so once something's in your nervous system, it's easier to reawaken that. And in terms of the speaking that we're doing, speaking from the heart, speaking from our intuition, which next week we're going to go more into really speaking from our higher self, speaking from our intuition, which is an even deeper level of this, it's just about building trust. The more trust we have that we can speak from our heart, speak from our intuition, the easier it gets. And then we do it again, and then it's even easier, and that builds more trust, and it's like a loop of confidence. Just each time you do it, it gets bigger and gets stronger as we get more and more trust. So each time you do just a 2-minute exercise or a 1-minute exercise, or you practice it with your husband, or you play with it with a friend, or at the dinner table or in a job interview, each time you're building another layer of trust. And so the next time you'll trust yourself even more. Now that's not to say that we don't need planning and we don't need notes, because that's what I want to talk about today, because some of you have been emailing me about this. We've been so far really looking at really taking you out of the habit of planning everything and out of the habit of coming from your head, because We've been doing that our whole lives, so we don't really need much training in that side of it. Most of us, as Alice said, have felt that there was another possibility, and we sort of knew it, but we didn't trust that we could speak from another place. So this course so far has been really teaching you, giving you the experience of practicing speaking from the other place, speaking from your heart, speaking from your intuition, speaking from your intentions by being connected fully to yourself without notes. But there are situations in which you will need some notes. There are situations where you will need to cover specific material. And what I want to look at today is how to bring the head and the heart together in a way that's quite different to maybe how some of us have done it before. And really, for me, the secret is that when I'm doing the head part of the work, so let's say, I'll give you an example, and Alice and Tathra and Dale will relate to this because they also are involved in the same organization. We're all members of an organization that puts on a one-day event called the Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream Symposium. It's a full-day event. I've facilitated it many times. I'm very familiar with the material. And I was asked to deliver a one-hour version of it at the World Parliament of Religions, which took place in Melbourne last year. And I was standing and speaking with one of my absolute heroes, who's a poet from the United States who I adore. And I was going to be on stage with him and another person from my organization. And so it was a very high nervousness kind of inducing event. And we'd been told we only had 1 hour to deliver something that I normally deliver over a whole day. Now, I can't just stand up and speak from my heart in that context because I have to deliver particular material that's designed for a particular purpose from a full-day event. So there are contexts in which you're going to be given material for your job or for whatever context in which you have to cover certain points. It's just that's part of the process of that talk that you're giving. But what I did very differently that time to what I would have done previously was when I sat down with my people who I was presenting with to prepare what we're going to do in that hour, I came at it from a very different place. So what I'm suggesting is to come at our planning from a heart space rather than a head space. So even though we do have to plan, we do have to use notes, we may have to cover specific points, in preparing those, in writing our little key points on our page, our bullet points on our page, to come at that from our heart. So I remember saying to the people I was planning with, let's look at this a bit differently. Let's just feel into how would we like our audience to feel in this hour? What would we like them to feel? What experience of the symposium would we like them to have? And what that led us to developing was we actually invented some experiential processes for the audience in that hour that would give them a feeling of what would happen if they did the one-day event. So rather than standing there for an hour and talking their heads off and telling them all about the symposium, we actually just took them into two or three really deep processes that gave them a feeling of it. Now, I don't think we would have come up with that if we'd been sitting there in our heads trying to figure out how to squish a whole day's worth of material into 1 hour. But because we were all in a very deep space, we always start by creating a sacred space. We got into our hearts. We were really focusing on our intention for the audience, our intention for the organization. What came out of that planning session was something very original and very compelling. And on the day when we delivered it, I did what I do now, which is really spent a few hours in the morning getting into my body, you know, connecting to my heart. Probably not a few hours, I probably spent half an hour, but connecting to my body, connecting to spirit, asking spirit to come through me, connecting to my intention. And when I stood up, I was in a really powerful, beautiful heart space, and we delivered this hour very, very effortlessly. Now, a year or two ago, if I had been told I had to compress a full day talk into 1 hour, I would have been so stressed and worried about how to get it right and how to fit it all in. But because I was coming from my heart, I was very clear on how I wanted my audience to feel and what experience I wanted them to have. That hour felt like 5 or 6 hours, which is what someone pointed out last week when we were doing the one-minute talks. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Alice. Someone said that when they spoke for the minute, it went quite fast when they were talking from their head, but the minute when they were talking from their heart, it felt like many, many minutes. And that was very much the experience I had when I did that 1 hour symposium. So what we're going to do today is play with this idea of planning from the heart so that those of you who have actual presentations that you have to deliver which have specific points in them, when preparing them, you can prepare them in a different way than you would, and you'll probably find that when you stand up to deliver them, you'll deliver them in a very different way as well. Now, next week we're going to look at more well, situations where we might not even want to use planning at all. So I know some people in this course have situations where they're asked to just give guidance to people or coaching or channeling information, and that's unplanned work. That's work that you don't have a script and you don't have specific points and you're really relying on your higher self and your intuition. That's a different kind of speaking, and we're going to look at that next week. But this week I really wanted to look at those situations where there are specific points we know we're going to have to cover. So, for example, when I teach a Feldenkrais awareness through movement lesson, Moshe Feldenkrais has designed specific movements that I have to convey in that hour. So I can't deviate from the script, or the work won't have its neurological effect as it's designed to have. But if I was to teach that hour-long lesson from my head, just following the script word for word that Moshe Feldenkrais used, it would have a very different effect from if I stand there fully connected to my body, connected to my heart, really feeling my intention for this group of people in front of me, and very open and responsive to them and to their energy, which is something we're going to talk about later today, connecting to your audience. So when I'm delivering those pieces of information, those set steps that have been designed that I can't really deviate from, I'm still noticing what's going on in the room, and I'm saying, oh, wow, that person doesn't seem to be understanding this. Maybe I can modify it slightly or come over and put my hands on them or change my wording or do it in a slightly different order. And so I'm quite free to play with it and to respond to what I'm observing in the room because I'm in my heart space and I'm in a very free and open, receptive, feminine space. If I was in my masculine, which is very directive, and I was very clear, this is what I'm going to say, this is my plan, and I'm sticking to it at all costs because that's my direction, then I wouldn't be noticing the people in the room who aren't following or the people in the room whose bodies don't understand the steps I'm telling them. But when I'm in my feminine, I'm able to be responsive, and so I can notice what I'm seeing in the room and the people on the floor, and I can change and slightly alter things, modify things, reword things. And so what I'm trying to show you with these examples is that there's a really lovely way of blending our masculine and our feminine. There are times where we need some masculine direction when we speak. We've all seen fluffy speakers who don't really make a point. That's not very effective in many situations. But at the same token, we've also all seen many speakers who are very, very masculine, very, very planned and PowerPoints and direction, and there's no heart and there's no flexibility and there's no responsiveness when they talk. They're not responding to what's arising in their audience moment to moment, which means they're losing their audience. When we're in our heart and we're connected to ourselves and connected to our audience, we can respond to what comes up. And sometimes that means we'll have to deviate from our plans a little bit. We have to be a little bit flexible and give greater time to some things than to others. So when I plan these sessions with you, I usually get up a little bit early on the Saturday morning and I think, okay, well, I connect to my intention, I connect to my intention for myself, I connect to my intention for you. I think about what I said on the flyer we're going to talk about today. So that is some structure that is there in paper that people have seen, so I need to cover that stuff. So I'm okay, I feel into that. Okay, well, I said I'd talk about this, but this group, they've already done this, and some of them are thinking about this, and some of them are feeling this, and I want to tune into this actual group of people in front of me, not just to what I said on the flyer I was going to do. So the feminine side of me is saying, okay, well, I want to respond to what's actually coming up in this group. There's some stuff coming up about planning, non-planning. I didn't say we'd do that in week four, but it feels really appropriate to me to cover that today. So, okay, so I just jot down on my piece of paper, talk about planning. That's all I write. For my level of trust with my own speaking is such that for me just a short phrase is what I like to write, and then I trust that what needs to come out of my mouth will come out of my mouth. Now, depending on what your level of trust is, when you do your planning, you might want to write a little bit more than that. You might want to write, talk about planning, give some examples from own life, ask for questions. You know, you might want to plan it a little bit. But what I suggest you to do is not write out the actual words you're going to use. Keep the planning as brief as you possibly can, so it's just a roadmap. It's really just to trigger your memory so that as you look down to your sheet, you say, oh, yeah, that's right, I wanted to talk about planning now. And I was going to ask him some questions and I was going to share some stories. And you don't have to write the specifics. Or if you feel you're going to need to write specifics, just write one or two words for each point rather than the actual script. Each time you write an actual script, you're really freezing yourself in time to the moment when you wrote the script. And you're stopping the possibility that you could be receptive to what happens when you speak live. Because when we speak live, we're responding to the energy in the room, especially in front of a live audience, we're noticing Are they following this? Are they looking awake? Are they nodding? Do they seem to be taking this in? And if not, you'll have to say it in a different way or change your speed, or you'll intuitively respond energetically. I know all of you will, because you're all very receptive women. You'll all respond to what your audience is needing from you, whereas if you have a script that you're reading from, it's very hard to respond. I mean, there are ways where you can vary your tone and your energy, which I talked about last week. If you have to read a script and you can't get around that, then that's a different situation. But in most situations, if you can avoid using a script and just use bullet points or jotting down key words, that's what I would be recommending. But obviously, it's going to be about building your levels of trust. So initially, you might want to start with more comprehensive notes, and each time you do it, see if you can make your notes shorter and shorter until eventually you'll just write one or two words for each point as your trust builds. And eventually, some of you will find you don't need notes at all for some situations. So I want us to have a real play with that today, bringing the masculine and the feminine together, which is very exciting because it shows how much we've done in the last few weeks, because I wanted you to have a really clear experience of the feminine before we reintroduce the masculine stuff, because we're all very good at the masculine stuff. So we're going to do a little bit of exercise in a minute, but I just want to see if anyone has any questions or comments on what I've said. I might just take one share. So if someone has anything they want to share or say in response to what we've just been talking about planning, or a question about it, pop your hand up and then we're going to go and do an exercise. It's the only other one, so I'll pass the mic to you.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello? Okay.
I can.
So just in relation to scripts and how we can still be in our feminine power if you do have to use a script, and I've just had a recent experience of that with someone else who I was a participant in listening in the audience to a story being read. And I was so curious about how it came across so powerfully and so many people were affected by it, although it was being read, that I talked to her coach who is an actor, and she described how she gets people to do that, and it's about how they make the material totally their own through images, creating images for each line or sentence, and also through seeing the material as what she calls sweeps of thought. And as you really get to the point where the script becomes quite transparent, I think the intention can then shine through it. So if we can remember that even with a script, in a situation where a script is required, there's a way that we can be, the script is not in the way. And it really worked. Definitely. So many people responded deeply from the heart to this story. And another fascinating part of it was that I discovered from the coach was that the story was really quite badly written and difficult to deliver, and yet that was totally unnoticeable, because what came across was through the images and the inner work that had been done, that the actual structure of the words were transparent, they weren't in the way.
Yes, and that's the skill of any great actor, to be able to really deeply connect to their material, deeply connect to their own heart, and deeply connect to their audience. And that's the difference between great actors and average actors. And I've got a lot of friends who are actors and do very profound acting training at the Victorian College of the Arts. And most of the work they do to teach them to act is deep personal development work. It's not what you
exactly
think that they would do.
So it was very interesting to realise that, you know, we don't have to feel limited by a script either if we have to use a script.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beck was saying that she had very strictly sort of confined material, she often does in the work she's doing, but that we can shine through it somehow.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. And I was talking about that a little bit last week, and really the key to it, there are mind techniques like images and stuff, which are great, and also to just really feel the material, really read it through to yourself, feel it. What are the key places that awaken something in your own heart? You know, how does that material resonate with you emotionally? What would be your intention for your audience when you're delivering this material to them? What would be the outcome for them in their highest good? How would you like them to feel? How can you be so present when you're reading it that you're in your body, you're feeling the audience? When you're really, really deeply present in the moment, which is what we're going to look at a little bit, hopefully later today, and if not, we'll do it in the coaching groups, which is how to really feel the energy of your audience. So when you're reading something, if you're really, really present, you can feel not only your own body, but you can feel the audience. You can feel when they're holding their breath, when they're waiting with bated breath, when you've really got them in the palm of your hand. You can feel when they're really emotionally engaged. You can feel when they're disconnected or tired or yawning. And as you feel that, you change the energy that you're putting out when you read. And it's not just about your voice, your vocal timbre, your volume. It's about the energy that's coming through you. And I was actually going to talk about this later in the call, but given that we're waiting for Dale and we're on this topic, I might as well talk about it a little bit now, which is that idea of responding energetically to your audience. And it's not just when you're reading scripts. It's when you're delivering any kind of material to a live audience. You'd probably even do it over the phone, but it takes really energetically subtle skills to feel your audience when you can't see them. But when you can see people, it's quite extraordinary to notice if you're ever in an audience, particularly if you're not the speaker, it's a really nice thing to practice watching. Look around the audience and just notice what's happening in the room in terms of people's energy. And people's energy will vary throughout the room. Sometimes the speaker has the whole room in the same energy. The whole room is really excited, or the whole room is really alive, or the whole room is really awake, or the whole room is really emotional. But sometimes there are pockets of energy in a room which are separate from the rest of the group. So sometimes there are people with very powerful energy fields who, for example, might get really emotional and start crying. And what I've observed is that the people around them start crying, and the people around them start crying. And it's like a ripple comes out of this one person's energy field and resonates through that whole section of the room. And then I've seen it with one person gets really sleepy and starts to doze off, and the person next to them nods off, and the person next to them nods off, and the person next to them nods off. And so it's just a really interesting thing to start to play with. I'm not going to go into it in great detail now because we don't have time to do any exercises on that in this particular course, but if any of you continue on with coaching, or if I run, you know, further workshops and courses down the track, we can go more into details of energy, of audience energetics. But it really is incredibly fascinating to watch that. And once you've started to watch it and notice it, then you can start to learn techniques to manage it, to send energy to those areas of the room, to bring the whole group back together energetically. But the first step is to just start noticing it. So I just want to put that idea out. The next time you're sitting in an audience, especially if you're on the sides or the edges, or if you happen to be one of the people working on the team who's around the edges of the audience, looking at them, just start to watch what's happening energetically to people's moods, their energy levels, their levels of engagement, and start to notice who are the people in the room who influence that. And one of the things actors are very attuned to, which is what Alice was talking about, which I suspect is part of what this woman does when she trains her readers, is they're very attuned to their audience. They're very attuned to the reactions, the responsiveness of their audience, and they know how to direct energy to different parts of the room, and that's what all the top speakers know as well. And so that's something I'd love to look at more with you guys, but I'm just going to touch on it now, just to put that idea out there to start to think about that. But what I want to do now is I want to go back to what we were planning to do now, which is an exercise on planning, interestingly. Okay, so what I'd like to do is you're going to be put into hopefully pairs. Let me just see how many people we have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15. Okay, you're going to be put into groups of three because we've got 15 people, so pairs won't work. And you're each going to do a 2-minute speech. We're going to go through a whole process now on planning that speech from the heart, and then you're going to deliver that speech for 2 minutes. So last week you had a 1-minute speech, this week you've got a 2-minute speech. And the topic is going to be the same for everybody. The content will be different. The topic is you're going to have 2 minutes to imagine you're introducing to somebody your business or your job, what you do for a living, just to introduce that to them. Now, if you don't have a job or a business, maybe you could talk about your favorite hobby, something that you do with your time. And your goal for this talk is to share with them what it is that you do and why it is important. So I'm going to give you some time to plan that talk in a minute. But I just want to tell you the topic now so it can start percolating in your subconscious. And what we're going to do now is we're going to go through a process that I would use when I'm speaking or when I'm planning to make sure I'm really connected to my heart, really connected to my audience, really connected to myself, really connected to my body. And as part of that, we're going to do a little bit of a very short Feldenkrais exploration with our body, which you can do sitting in your chair. It'll probably go for 5 or 10 minutes. I have no idea really what's going to come out of my mouth, but it'll probably go for 5 or 10 minutes. When you're about to get up and speak, you're probably not going to have 5 or 10 minutes, so you would just do a short version of it, which I'll tell you about later. But for the purposes of learning and retraining your nervous system, which is what we're going to be doing today, I'm going to take you through a more detailed version of it so your whole body can really, really have an experience of it. So I'm going to go through it sort of systematically, centering, connecting to our heart, connecting to our body, setting our intention. And then you'll have 4 or 5 minutes to actually plan with a pen and paper, plan your 2-minute talk, and then we'll recenter ourselves up and we'll speak. So it's just to give you a sense of what it could be like to actually do the planning of a talk from this place of full connectedness, in clear intention, connected to your heart. And it'll really change how you plan your talk. So I'm going to ask anyone who is sitting on a couch or the floor to just go and grab yourself a chair, and actually I'll just see, is there anyone who needs to go and grab yourself a chair? Just press 1 on your phone. Just a flat chair, just a normal chair, not a couch, because I really need you to be sitting on something. So if you need to go and do that, just press 1 so I know to give you some time. Okay, no one's doing that, so you're obviously all sitting on a chair already. That's good. Okay, so just sitting on your chair, I want you to just put your pen and paper down for now, close your eyes. And I want you to start by just taking a moment to sense how you're sitting on the chair, sense your body, sense your feet on the floor. And take a nice deep breath in with your eyes closed. And then let your breath out. So we're always, I find it helpful to start with centering. And one of the easiest ways to center ourselves is just take a breath in. And then breathe out, letting everything just wash away. And we'll do that one more time. Breathing in. And breathing out. Now we're going to just have a sense of grounding ourselves. So I want you to really feel your feet on the floor. And if you don't have your feet flat on the floor, actually place your feet flat on the floor. And just feel your connection down through your feet into the carpet or the floorboard beneath you, and then into the ground beneath that, and the grass and the earth underneath that, and the soil deep down under that. And feel your connection all the way down through your feet into the heart of the earth. And even though you're sitting, not standing, you might still have that sense of sending roots down through your feet, sending roots down into the earth. And just notice what happens as you send these roots down into the earth, what happens through your body. Does your breathing change or your posture change? And then slowly bringing your attention back to your whole self now that you've had a little bit of a sense of groundedness. And now we're just going to do something to actually free up the body, which really makes a difference before we speak. It's just going to be a short process, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and then we'll do our dropping into our heart. But just because it's something new for many of you, I want to set up a couple of test movements so you'll be able to feel at the beginning and at the end it's made any difference for you. So the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to put you all on mute so no one can hear you. So no one can hear you now. So what I want you to do is just out loud say the letters of the alphabet. And I want you to say them over and over until you run out of breath. So you might get halfway through the alphabet or you might get through the whole thing twice. Just whatever, it depends on the speed you're saying it. So I might go, take a deep breath in and go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. And I want you to be doing this with me if you haven't already started. Take a nice deep breath in. And as you're counting out the letters of the alphabet, I want you to notice A, how far you get in one breath. And also what your voice sounds like and what your voice feels like. Does your voice feel strained? Does it feel like it takes effort to keep getting to the end of this breath? What does your voice sound like? And then we're going to do it a second time. So if you're still going on your first breath, that's a really long breath. We're going to do it a second time. So take a nice deep breath in. And A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. Keep going all the way, noticing how the voice feels, how the voice sounds. How much effort it requires. And then leave that, and now just bring your awareness back to your body sitting on your feet, and I want you to just pay attention to how you're sitting without changing anything. Just notice, where is your weight on your two sitting bones, your buttocks? Where is your weight? Does your weight feel like it's more on the left sitting bone or the right sitting bone? If you don't know where your sitting bones are, just notice, do you feel like you're more on your left buttock or your right buttock? Notice the shape of your back. Do you feel like you're rounded back a little bit, or do you feel like you're arched forwards a little bit? Or do you feel like you're straight? Without any judgment, just noticing it, just so we have something to compare it to at the end. And also I want you to notice, how much work does it require for you to sit there? Does it feel like it's a lot of work? Could you sit there for hours like this, or would you need to slump down or rest or get up and walk around? And then leave that inquiry. Now we're just going to do a few small movements just to play with that a little bit, play with our bodies in sitting. So what I want you to do is just very gently roll your pelvis forwards a little bit, whatever that means to you. Roll your pelvis forwards a little bit, and slowly roll your pelvis back to the middle. Now you might feel as you roll your pelvis forwards really slowly that you're actually rolling forwards on your sitting bones. You're rolling more to the front of your buttocks, more towards your pubic bone. And then roll back through the middle and actually roll back a little bit. So you're almost rolling back onto your sacrum or rolling back into a bit of a slump. It's just a very small movement. It's not a stretch. It's not a yoga movement. It's very small. So if you're rolling along a measuring tape, you'd probably be only rolling half an inch or a couple of centimeters or maybe even less than that. It's very small. And as you're gently rolling your pelvis forward and back really slowly, notice what's happening through the rest of your body. What's happening through your chest? What's happening through your spine? Now, some people might find that their chest and spine are staying quite straight and they're kind of swinging forward like a pendulum. Like, so your head is going forwards as your pelvis goes forwards and your head is going back as your pelvis goes back. And that's fine. That's one way to do the movement. Some of you might be finding that your head is staying in the middle, but your chest is moving either forward, lifting up a little bit and then slumping down a little bit, so your chest is changing shape. Some of you might find your chest is not changing shape and that you're moving like a pendulum. And if that's confusing, don't worry about it, because it's going to become clearer. And then leave it and just have a rest. And I'd like you to just rest by just leaning forward with your elbows on your knees so you can really have a full rest. When we're doing such subtle work like this, we really need to take lots of rest. And it's not because we're tired. It's because we're giving our brain and our nervous system and our body a chance to integrate what we've just been playing with and learning. So now, this time, come up to sitting and actually come forward to the edge of your seat so that most of your thighs are free and not on the chair. And you're sitting towards the front of your seat, which can often free up our pelvis. So now what I'd like you to do is just once or twice really slowly roll forwards and backwards. Now you're on the edge of your seat, and just notice if that made any difference. And then come back to the middle. Now I'm going to ask you to place your right hand on your forehead with your elbow pointing forwards, and then place your left hand on top of your right hand with your elbow pointing forwards. So both your hands will be on your head and your elbows are pointing forwards. Now, some of you will say, I can't do that because I'm holding a phone. And that's okay. If you're holding a phone with your actual hand, just put one hand on your head, the hand that's not holding the phone. And as the lesson goes on, you're welcome to swap hands. Those of you who are using headsets or listening on speakers and you can have both hands, place both hands on your head so your elbows are pointing forwards. And now what I'd like you to do is keeping your hands on your head, which is the constraint in this movement, I want you to gently lift your elbows up a little bit towards the ceiling. And you'll feel that because your hands are attached to your head, this actually lifts your head a little bit so your chin moves a bit away from your chest. And then slowly bring your elbows back to where they started in the middle. You feel your head come back to neutral. And once again, slowly lifting your elbows. You could imagine there's a torch beam on your elbows and you're just shining that light up a little bit. Feel how your whole front of your body can open and lengthen a little bit as your head looks up. And then come back to the middle. Take your arms down and give them a rest. If at any point while we're doing this you feel your arms start to get tired, just let them have a rest. You only need to do each movement once or twice and then you can have a rest. Oh, I've just seen we have Dale on the call. How exciting. Dale, we're just doing a little process to free up our body, get our bodies really free and center ourselves, and then we're going to be doing a little exercise, a speaking exercise. But I can tell you about that after. So for now, just joining in the little exploration that we're doing. So now once again, place your hands on your head, so your right hand on your forehead, your left hand on your right hand, and your elbows are pointing forwards. And now this time, as you lift your elbows up, also let your body roll forwards on your pelvis a little bit. So everything's rolling forwards a little bit. You feel the whole front of your body get a bit longer. And then as you lower your elbows back to the middle, let your pelvis roll back to the middle. And then just doing that again, you lift your elbows, your head lifts as you roll your pelvis forwards. You feel your whole back gently arches and the whole front of you gets gently longer. And it's not a stretch. Please don't go into a stretch. Stop the movement before you hit a stretch. So it's very easy. And then coming back to the middle. And then we do that again, slowly rolling forwards, lifting our elbows, letting the pelvis roll forwards. And then come back to the middle and have another rest. And you're welcome to rest with your elbows resting on your knees. So you might be thinking, what has this got to do with planning my speech? Well, the movements we're doing are going to really free up your whole body, but they're also really going to open up your heart chakra, because it's a particular lesson which really frees up the chest, the ribs, the heart, the center of our body. So it will mean when you speak, your voice will be much more resonant and able to flow easily, but also your mind will be clearer, your heart will be much open. And that's not just useful for the speaking part, it's actually also useful for the planning part. So because we're doing them one after the other today, I've decided to add this bit in before the planning rather than before the speaking. So coming back into that same position with your right hand on your forehead, your left hand on top of your right hand, this time we're going to do the opposite. I want you to take your elbows downwards a little bit towards pointing to your pubic bone or pointing to your belly button. So you feel that your elbows come down and that invites your head to come down because your hands are attached to your head. And your chest sinks down a little bit. Your eyes look down a little bit if they're open or if they're closed. And then you come back up to the neutral starting position. And now also start to add in this idea of rolling your pelvis back. So as your elbows come down, your head looks down, your pelvis rolls back, and you almost go into a little bit of a slump. The whole of your back gets long and round. Your chest sinks down. And then you slowly come back to the middle. Your elbows come back to the middle. Your pelvis comes back to the middle. And then you do that again. Elbows come down, pelvis rolls back. And then leave it, come back to the middle, have another rest. You can rest leaning forward on your elbows or you can rest leaning back. If you've got a back on your seat, you can sit back and lean back against it. I'm just sitting on a stool, so I don't have a back on my seat. What's really interesting is once you do a lot of this kind of work and you really learn how to sit on your sit bones in a neutral way, you find you throw out all your expensive ergonomic chairs' backs. And I have this $1,000 chair that I used to work on when I had back pain. And now I just sit on a $5 stool most of the time from IKEA. So if you look at little kids, when they sit, they don't need a back on their seat because they know how to sit beautifully on their sit bones and their spines. So we can all actually get to that. It's a really lovely experience when you do, and you'll have a bit of a sense of that at the end of this lesson. So coming back to sitting on the edge of your seat, bring your hands onto your forehead again. And, of course, if you're holding the phone, just have one hand on your forehead, but you might want to swap which hand you're using to give yourself a change. And if you've got your hand, both hands on your head, this time place your left hand on your forehead and your right hand on top of your left, so you've slightly changed the organization of your arms. And now we're going to alternate. We're going to, one, slowly and gently lift the elbows as we roll forwards on our pelvis, feeling the front of us get longer. And our back arches gently, not stretching, just small. And then coming back through the middle, rolling the pelvis back as the elbows come down, feeling our back round, eyes look down. And then coming back through the middle, pelvis rolls forwards as the elbows lift. And coming back through the middle, pelvis rolls back as the elbows lower. And then pause, have another rest, resting your arms, just stay sitting on the edge of your chair. Now we're going to actually do something to break up this pattern a little bit, which will be interesting. So place your hands on your head again, your right hand on top of your left. Now this time, as you lift your elbows up, I'd like you to roll your pelvis back. So it might take a moment to figure that out. So as you lift your elbows up, your face looks up, your pelvis rolls back, your lower back rounds and slumps, but your elbows are looking up, your head is looking up, and then you come back to the middle. So just see if you can figure that out. Your elbows go up as you roll your pelvis back. It's requiring something very different in your spine. Doing that a few times really gently, and then leave it, let your arms rest. We don't want our arms to get tired. It's not a muscle workout. It's a brain and nervous system rewiring is what we're doing. We're not strengthening our arms. And then bring your hands back onto your head again. This time you can have your other hand on top, whichever hand you like. And now we're going to do the opposite. We're going to take our elbows down, our elbows and our head down as we roll our pelvis forward. So the pelvis rolls forward, your lower back arches a little bit as your elbows come down, your eyes look down. Just do it very small. This is very challenging for your spine. I don't want you to stretch anything. So your pelvis rolls forward as your elbows come down, your face looks down. And then you roll everything back to the middle, your elbows come back to the neutral. You roll your pelvis forward, but your elbows move down, your face moves down. Might feel quite strange. And then have another little rest. And then we're going to go back to the easier version. So bring your hands back onto your head, and just once or twice we're going to go back to the easier version where you lift your elbows as you roll your pelvis forward, and you lower your elbows as you roll your pelvis back. Slowly lift your elbows as you roll your pelvis forward. Just going a small distance, nothing too big, no stretch. Lower your elbows as you roll your pelvis back, and you might find that's changed a little bit. And then leave it and just come to sitting neutrally on the edge of your chair with your arms just resting somewhere comfortably. And now I just want you to see what it's like simply to roll your pelvis forward without doing anything with the arms now. Just the original movement we did, rolling your pelvis forwards, then coming back through the middle and rolling your pelvis back. And just notice if something has changed about how you're doing that movement. Some of you might find that now your chest and your spine is a little bit more involved in this movement. As you roll forward, some of you might even feel you get taller, your chest lifts, your eyes lift a little bit. And as you roll back, your chest lowers, your eyes and head look down a little bit, your back round. And maybe that's what you were doing at the start, and maybe it's not. And continue to slowly make this smaller and smaller each time until you could come back to the middle. Where is the middle? But each time you do it a little bit smaller, a little bit smaller, until you just find yourself sitting in the middle, wherever the middle is, and it may not be where you usually sit. Maybe a slightly different place. And just come into this place in the middle. Just sit for a moment and notice, how does it feel to sit now? Notice where your weight is on your two buttocks, where your weight is on your two sit bones. Notice the length of your spine. Do you feel like you're more arched now, or more rounded, or straighter? And I've still got you on mute, so what we're going to do is we're going to count the alphabet again at the same speed and just notice, Does it feel different in terms of the quality of the sound of your voice? Does it feel different in terms of the effort required to produce the voice? Does it feel different in your body? And maybe you find your breath goes for a little bit longer or shorter. So we're going to start that now. So take a big breath in. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. And just keeping on going yourself and just noticing what feels different. What sounds different, what feels different. For some of you it may feel exactly the same, for some of you it may feel completely different. And then bringing that to a close, it's still going, that's great, but I'm sure most of you are starting to finish up on your breath, if you've not already finished.